Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I am Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend, John Stout. The number to call, 434-1790. And to send us a WhatsApp message, it's 266-4862. Now, a couple of things on my mind this morning. Number one, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. I read an article yesterday, and it was about Prime Minister Motley and the executive chairman of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, Mrs. Juliet Bynoe-Sutherland. They were at Lara Court to celebrate a new partnership between the government of Barbados and the Hospital for Sick Children, Sick Kids in Canada. This was to establish the Shaw Center for Pediatric Excellence at the QEH. The center, which will be used by Barbados and as well as the Eastern Caribbean, is supported by the Lewis Shaw Foundation in collaboration with the Clinton Foundation. Now, of course, this is expected to see a greater number of pediatric healthcare personnel being trained and fewer children having to leave Barbados to seek treatment abroad. Now, why is that important? I will tell you a story quickly. In 1999, there was this lady who gave birth to a little girl who was diagnosed with a heart condition. I believe it was called a complete endocardial cushion defect. And the child also had Down syndrome. And to get the care that the child needed at QEH certainly was not there. The support was not there in its entirety. The QEH has something called the Medical Aid Scheme. That was put in place to help persons who could not afford the surgery. If the surgery was going to be 90% successful, and that lady's daughter met all of the criteria that was needed in order to go. But the problem was that the child had Down syndrome. And unfortunately, and I know this is hard to hear and hard to say, as a mother too, of a child with Down syndrome, it was a case where money obviously was involved, and who wants to pay for a child with a disability who is not seen as an asset to society? And again, these are not my words, and who basically might not come back to vote. So that lady had a fight on her hands, and she did everything possible to get that little girl the help. And there was a partnership back in those days with a hospital in New York, and the mother was successful in getting the little girl there. And it happened to be through the same medical aid scheme. And if I am not wrong, and I don't believe I am, that little girl was the first child to go under the medical aid scheme with a disability and got her heart fixed. That little girl is 20 years old today, and she's doing quite well. Now, I said that to say this: since then, and even prior to that, there were mothers who they were waiting for help. They got the diagnosis sometimes of Down syndrome and a heart defect. They take the child home because they're told that the surgery is $80,000 to start. And of course, they didn't know where to turn. The question was, what happened to the child or those children? I can tell you, without a doubt, those children are not alive today. And that, again, was in the early 90s, 80s. A lot has changed, I believe, since then. However, we are nowhere near where we need to go as far as getting children and adults help overseas. So when I saw that article, I remembered that lady. And I thought, wow, that is a great achievement, because to get a child overseas to get medical care requires money, and in a lot of cases you can't get insurance after the fact. So then you have to rely on raising funds on government. I think what the hurtful part was, for the best of my knowledge, for that lady, was that the medical aid scheme back in those days would pay $6,000 for the particular child. And I guess to some people, $6,000 was too much. And it's regrettable, but again, we are now in 2020. I would like to think that the hospital has made several improvements. And this is why I wanted to highlight that achievement, that partnership is important. And I don't know about you, I'm a mom, two girls. Of course, they've been ill on different occasions. We know what that is like, seeing your child not well and having to go and get health care and not being able to pay for that health care. Sometimes you ask yourself, is it a case that the rich will live and the poor must die? So kudos to the QEH, kudos to the government for creating that partnership. One of the other things I would like to see is some sort of assistance and surgeries with pediatric cardiology. I am not sure if we're quite there yet with having children being operated on under 20 pounds, but that is something that I'm sure we should work on, and I encourage all Barbadians to continue to support the QEH. Everything in life is important, education and food and all these different things, but I can assure you, when you give birth to a child and that child is not well, education is the last thing on your mind, because you can't educate a sick child. You really can't. Your first priority is to save the child's life. And that is why I really 100% support the QEH. I know they've had some difficulty. They've had some horror stories too, but they need support. And if they can get your support, they're able then to improve these services right across this country and the Eastern Caribbean as well. So without further delay, this is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
What was the murder rate last year?
No, you tell me, because obviously you were keeping track. I believe we were at 49 at the end of the year.
Did that include those two little children who perished in that fire at Warren?
I don't know. I don't believe so.
If that year were not included, it should be 51, because that would have been a murder-suicide.
Okay.
So a special tally should be 51. Now, I heard the Attorney General blaming the Democratic Labour Party for a lot of things in this constituency, but I can give him some other things to add to blame. Blame them for the marriage certificates going from $40 to over $200. Blame them for the $48 water tax. Blame them for the sewage tax. Blame them for the 51 murders that we had last year. And I can go on and on. Blame them for increased bus fares. Now, everybody thought that bus fares had to be increased. Yes. But how on earth? What human being with a heart, after sending home people, is going to increase bus fares and up to $48 tax on a water bill? I am seeing signs of Donald Trump in this country. I am seeing signs of it. And I don't like it. And I think it is time for people to forget whatever petty differences they have and have a voice. These kind of things cannot be right. They just can't be right. You just can't keep on burdening. And these are the same people who said that we're not going to burden people with taxes. I know if I was in control of a country and I had money owed to me, the first thing I would love to do is try to recover those money. That's the very first thing. I won't go about writing off people debt.
So let me ask you a question, and I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, because you're saying that it's unfair. I'm not saying it's fair or unfair, so let's just be clear. How do you propose, then, would a country be able to pay for its citizens in terms of health care, teachers, and police, and so on?
Not a hard question to answer.
Okay.
First thing, Frandez Stewart has 17 medical ministers, and he was criticized for having 17, and they support the criticisms. So saying that 17 was criticized, I would have thought that then the people who criticized the 17 would have reduced the 17. You don't have 26.
But what if the argument is, we need more because we have more problems?
Hold on. I don't know the minutes of a salary, but collectively, as we get rid of 15 of them, and you calculate the salaries and the allowances and all of that, I am sure you would have saved a lot of money. What was the question you asked us, no?
No, the question was, the argument could be, and again, I'm just throwing this out there to you, that we've inherited a government with all of these problems. We need more ministers to cover more ground. Would you then say, if that was their argument, the present government, would you then say that all of the ministries are being covered in a more efficient and effective way than before with the expansion of the cabinet?
I am banning to that. You know what
no,
I'm
I asking you.
Every government has always been the previous one. Every one of them. From Baraton, I didn't say right down to no. Right? And I don't necessarily accept that. Yes, some might do more ignorance than some. Some might do more good than some. But the thing is, when you get in there, you have identified problems when you are seeking to get in. But yet, when you get in there, you tend to do more foolishness than the one that was there previously. That is the kind of things that I don't like. That is the kind of things, everything that was criticized has now been increased on 2 and 3-fold.
Well, I'll give you a hint, though, with the taxes of the marriage license. I don't think you'll be getting married anytime soon then in that case, right?
I look foolish to you. I sound foolish.
I just thought I would ask. $225 it is?
I think it is.
Or two something from $40, $50? But apparently, apparently it has not been raised in years, is what I'm being told. But
there's an old saying, right? A drowning man catches at a straw. And in this instance, it seems this government is going to catch at anything to recover. To me, these moves are desperation. I heard the tax man keep on saying that people had to go home. I would like the tax man, and I've been asking him to do this, and he would not do it. As when you're pruning the tree, as you start at the bottom or the top, I still cannot understand how you can be sending home people and want to convince me that you're breaking in more. Another thing that got me confused, this unit that had been created within the Prime Minister's office, but people coming in for training and all of that, I'm probably getting back jobs. Training to do what? To do what? And now I'm going, if that was the case, then why send home the people in the first place? I know I could have read on a paper last year on the front page the possibility exists that more will be going on and more taxes will be coming, which is further burden. You have all been in university to know these things, but for some reason, we, the people of this country, most of us, when you step in a university or you drive an expensive car, you live in an expensive neighborhood, you know it all.
All right. Well, we want to hear from some other callers.
Before you go, John.
All right. But thank. But
I want to say this last thing. And
okay, wrap it up.
The only way to stimulate an economy is to encourage people to spend. If a man can't pay $1 in tax, how you gonna pay $49? Explain it.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's get some other callers to weigh in on the tax situation and the increase. I want to thank you very much. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am good. What about you?
I'm fine.
Good. Good, good.
I would like to say greetings to Mr. John Stowe and to the listeners. And to the family and friends and relatives of Mr. Rashid Foster. all those who have lost loved ones in death. A question is something asked, Mr. X. If a man dies, can he live again? And that question was asked by a man called Job. Job asked that question at Job chapter 14, verse 14. But what would motivate Job to ask such a question? Job had hope. Because in that same chapter, chapter 14, verse 7, Job said there, "For there is hope even for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again." Job also went on to say, verse 9, "At the scent of water, it will sprout, and it will produce branches like a new plant." If a tree have hope, a tree that cannot love, cannot talk, does not have the qualities that Jehovah created in, for we were created in God's image to love, to have kindness. And if Job could have hope, or tree could have hope in life, what about us who was created in God's image? But going back to Job's question, he went on to say, "I will wait all the days of my compulsory service until my relief comes. You will call, and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hand." Death today was not a purpose of Jehovah's creation. Because the Bible goes on to say, at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it says there that God has, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10, it says there that God has put in my heart eternity. Why? Because he has created man to be happy. You understand?
Yes.
Right. So he said he's put eternity in the heart of man so that man will not find out the work from the beginning to the end. And just think about this mistake. If you have, you're going to lay down tonight in your bed and decide or ask yourself what time you can die tomorrow. You're not going to do that. But you will think about, well, I'm going to take my daughter to probably port, or you decide, well, tomorrow morning I've got to get up and go to the doctor, or to the insurance. But never in your wildest dreams, if you are happy and healthy, to lay down plans, well, what time you can die tomorrow.
Well, I don't think you actually do that, if I may, because you reference me at night. You make plans, but I go to sleep hoping that I see the sunrise. And I say that little prayer. It might sound like a little girl's prayer. You know, as I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Actually, I don't even do my. I actually speak on behalf of my family, our souls. So when I go to sleep, trust me. I wish I didn't feel like this, but sometimes I guess the older you get, you come to this realization that the time that you spent on earth was left now is less. So it's not that I go like, well, you know, what time am I going to die tomorrow? I pray that I see tomorrow. And I think a lot of people, Christian or not, I think they hope for that as well.
But, you know, as you say that, mm-hmm. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 at verse 2 says, a time for birth and a time to die. But I want to conclude now by saying that I found the scripture now. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 10, it says there, I have seen the occupation that God has given to the sons of men to keep them occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has even put eternity in their heart. Yet mankind will never find out the work that the true God has made from start to finish. And then he says, I have concluded that there is nothing better for them to rejoice and to do good during their life. Also that everyone should eat and drink and find enjoyment for all his hard work. It is the gift of God. So you see, ma'am, we were not created to die come into the world, suffer, and die. That was not God's purpose. So I will let this and leave that with the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
In order to have some hope, put your trust in Jehovah with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Take note of him, and he will make your path straight. Thank you very much, my dear.
Thank you so much. That was refreshing. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, ma'am.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just want to, yesterday morning I was listening to the program. I've never called this program. I've never spoken to you before. But yesterday morning I was listening to Sanctor Price talking to Dale Marshall. And I think Mr. Marshall needs to step up and stop being so a wimp in many ways, because he was the minister. He was the parliamentary representative for St. Joseph for almost 15 years or more, right? And then he can get on the radio, and every time he get on the radio, he has a criticism of the Democrat Liberal Party the last 10 years. Now, let me deal with the crime situation. Last year and the last year, he said that the crime situation have escalated because the Democrat Liberal Party didn't put things in place. That be what he said, that's it. But he had to add on a consultant in the former Commissioner of Police, Mr. Darwin Dutton. Things hasn't changed. It got worse. Then yesterday morning, when Sanctor Price was speaking to him concerning the rules in St. Joseph,
mm-hmm.
he went on to say that the Democratic Party did not do anything in the last 10 years, whatever. Let me say to you, ma'am, the countryside of Barbados, the rural side of Barbados, have been always a problem for many, many years. It has not changed. St. John from Bathsheba to, let me say, St. Margaret's, Newcastle, virtually, the road is horrible. And that road was so for the last almost 30 years. When David Thompson came to power in 2008, the first thing he did, he paved the road called Featherbed Lane. That was one of the worst roads in Barbados. In the last administration of the Barbados Liberal Party, they fixed the road between Sunbury and St. Philip Parish Church going up to St. John area. You have callers on this program who criticize a businessman, Mark Maloney. When the Bushy Park Inc. hosted a show called Gear, that road was paved from Otterson Plantation all the way down to Beulah. That road was impassable. That was bad.
Mm-hmm.
This same government now have done a good job in paving the road from St. Lucy Parish Church all the way up to Farley Hill. Beautiful road now, right? I would like Mr. Marshall to stop blaming people. Get the job done. St. Joseph was always a problem. St. Andrew's a problem.
St. John.
Lucy's a problem.
St. John, too,
all of these roads
well.
Are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I know the government is now trying the best to do to remedy the situation. They have paved the area. They're now going down to Calmar Rock. And the Prime Minister recently said she's going to do Highway 1 and Highway 7. This is going to be very difficult because that is a business area. And a lot of those roads have a lot of hydrants on the road. And there's a work in progress that has to be done. So stop criticizing the former administration and get on with the job. Because the Prime Minister said the work has to be done at night. Yes, we know that. But every time he gets on the radio, it's like he, the Minister of Transport and Works, and these roads from Garrison area, let me say from Garrison to Oystins, especially between Hastings Rocks all the way up to virtually the Champers Restaurant. That road is horrible. I drive on the road every day, mistress. The road is horrible. Stop. Get on with the job. He was very critical of the former administration. But yet, so he could come on the radio. Every time he comes on the radio, he has an excuse. St. Joseph was always a poor area until the road network. There's nothing he can do. But St. Andrew has problems all the time. George Payne have been the parliamentary resident for St. Andrew for quite some time. And all these people doing is putting the blame on you wanted the job, you got the job. Deal with the issues. It don't say it's coming to the public and trying to criticize the public. The Prime Minister, on the other hand, is doing a very good job. She's coming to the people. She's talk it to the people. Let the people know what's going on. Yes, there's tough times, but we gotta all live together. And I can understand what the Marshal got me ready yesterday morning to tell Sanka Price that the former administration didn't do what he wanted to do. He was the parliamentary for the last 10 years in the BLP government.
But,
what did he do?
But when you think about it, when governments are in charge, the opposition actually gets any help. I don't know if they do. When you're in opposition, which is really wrong for any government to do, if you're in opposition and you want something done, you're there because the people voted you to represent them. So if you want roads done or you want street lights or so on and so forth, I believe you should get it done. So was it a case, is it a case that he was stating, and I'm only asking, I did not hear the program yesterday, that he made a request over the last 10 years and didn't get it? Is that what
you
stated?
I'm not sure, Ms. Hay, because mm-hmm. as you just said, you don't know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I was saying to you, this is Barbados. And if for instance, the rural side of Barbados, to get to Bathsheba from the east of Barbados or the west of Barbados, you have to go to St. John or come from St. Andrew side. And if Bathsheba is an area where tourism is a part of our economic, strength, those roads need to be fixed. They said to the government of Barbados that their coaches are not going to Newcastle, Glen Burnie, St. Margaret's at all. But yet, so you have some very interesting avenues out there in St. Diego. You have Cotterdam College, which is the oldest theological center in the Western Hemisphere since 1745. How do people get to Cotterdam College, where they'll have to go 2-3 houses and come around? Then you have Bathsheba, which is quoted on the Atlantic side of Barbados, with all the mushroom rocks and so forth. These are things that the tourists want to see. What are you going to do? Talk, and blame the last administration? This is our country, and if tourism is our only source of our economy, because we don't have sugar anymore. We used to produce 120,000 tons of sugar. How much are we producing now? 12,000 tons of sugar. You drive through the country, all the sugar fields are bare. And what is not bare is in housing estates. These are the things that you want to talk about. Every day you get people come on the program, the same people over and over and over, and talking all kind of different things. Let's deal with the problems that we're facing. We can't revive sugar as we would like to. Because you claim, I heard you say you live in St. Philip. So mm-hmm. obviously, you mostly live in the eastern part of Barbados. I used to see housing estates that are gone. Where was sugar? Six Rows area, where were the Emerald City area? That was all sugar at one stage. It's no housing. So Mr. Marshall and all the rest of, especially Mr. Dugan as well, every time he opened him out, the former administration, right, suddenly the same thing. Get on with the job. The people voted for them. They have the government in their hands. The Prime Minister is trying her best, but she won't have her lieutenants doing what they're supposed to do. And Mr. Marshall needs to stop it.
There are some people here on WhatsApp that they're in agreement with you 100% in terms of what you're saying, sir. I just thought I should let you know that.
No problem. Thanks a lot. But all the concern as a Barbadian, we need to get the job done. We have rules in this country that is essential to tourism. That's what I'm talking about. Tourism is all. St. Lucie rules are bad. There's no question about it. Then you have the Animal Floor Cave in St. Lucie. You have River Bay in St. Lucie. These are the things that if you want to build tourism, and you want to... let me give you an example. You're talking coming from St. Lucie Parish all the way up to Portland Plantation in St. Peter. On your right-hand side coming up, that was all sugar cane, man. You know what it is now? A crematorium being built there. This is the sugar lands that they're talking about, we're reviving. And that we're talking about reviving this and reviving that. What are we doing? Sweet potatoes is a part of our heritage. Are we working on that? I won't say we're talking about sweet potato fries. I haven't heard much about it from now. Get on with the job. The people want to get. You talk about taxes. Give the people work. Get the job done. That's all I'm asking, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. WhatsAppers are certainly weighing in on that last caller. Joanne, the Barbados Liberal Party was in government for 14 years. If the roads in St. Joseph were fixed then, there would have been no need to fix them over the last 10 years. Dale Marshall is a failure, according to this person. People are writing in, yes, get on with the job. Yes, the caller's on point. Yes, he's so true. And the WhatsApps keep coming in regarding that caller. I want to thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello and a blessed morning to you and all.
And to you.
Yes. The guy before the last one, he spoke about the mirage of taxis and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the taxes are necessary. We have to, as a nation, start to think outside the box, because I realize that things are not the same anymore. The 70s and the 80s, part of the 90s, which I call the flourishing years, are not the same. Everybody need to understand that, get on board, and look to do, but to think higher. The only thing that bothered me a little bit is I pay taxes and everything too, but I'm not mad. But the only thing that bothered me a bit is the bus fare for the school children. It's a bit high, remembering that the children in secondary school don't get free lunch. So they have to be supplied with bus fare. Their parents have to give them lunches. I think that has to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. You have children at secondary school?
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren?
The, okay. Somebody called in the other day and said that the children, you know, it is hectic. I don't know if that person has, like, a lot of children at school. Some people have 3, 4, 5 children. Some going to primary, some going to secondary. Mm. So you still have to supply, you know.
That's if they take the privately owned buses, not the government buses.
You hardly see government buses now.
Mm-hmm. Where, what area, you don't have to be specific, but what area are you getting problems with the transport board buses? What area are you calling from?
I'm not. When I'm at the bus pool, I don't see them, but I'm speaking in general.
Okay.
So I was concerned. The person said that they have to decide which child will go to school today and which will stay home. And I mean, mm-hmm. that is rough. I'm thinking that maybe the bus fare for the children should have remained at $1 on the minivans and free on the government buses, because remember, I am so concerned for the ones that going to secondary school, they still have to get lunch. Mm-hmm. It was said that they can get help. I don't know if it's through the welfare or what, but some people don't even know that, and if it is so, they should be sent a check to help out. Otherwise, we need to get some work going, and I don't know, the Prime Minister, it was Ghana, one of the African countries, to make some arrangements concerning other things, and maybe they need to have think tank about getting work, no?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So basically obviously everybody's been asking for it, and of course I'm in agreement. More employment. There's too much unemployment, and there are a lot of people complaining. And the Prime Minister did say in her speech in the beginning of the year about capital works projects, etc., for this year. But this is February, and I get calls daily about people asking for employment, laborers, welders, office people, people with degrees, people without degrees. You know, so it has been rough, you know. Anybody who sits in this chair and not recognize that there's some challenges out there for some people, and it's hard, especially women who have the children, not disrespecting the men, but I mean single moms with their children and not getting maybe the financial support from some of the men, of course, it's even doubly hard.
I wonder how it's got to be really tough for women who have to pay rent and pay a bus fare and give children lunch money. And I mean, it has to be real tough, especially if you don't have the extended family to help out and things like that. It got to be. And you see rent, you know how fast a month goes by. So we have to pray for those women. For those parents, because men feel really bad when they can't help out, you know.
I'm getting a message here that this caller that school lunch for secondary schools it's provided, and as far as I know, it's only primary schools. But this person is saying secondary school lunch is provided.
By who?
I don't know. The caller on the school lunch provision for secondary schools is not accurate. There is provision for secondary school children to get lunch. If this person who's writing to say that, if they can send us some sort of proof regarding that, I certainly don't know about that. I certainly know back in my day at school, we had to buy lunch from the canteen at secondary school. Yeah. I don't know of any schools that provide school meals at the secondary level.
Also, I have one more thing to say.
Go ahead.
I don't think we can rely on the government to do everything, because every year we send out over 3,000 children, and I think they ought to be, it ought to be set up that they can, well, they're at school. I mean, they give them 12 subjects. Well, they're at school. As we say, we need work and different things like that. Could there be something, even in technology and so on, that they can be taught how to be inventive, how to get well at school and not wait till you leave? Some children leave school at 17, and late, if they're, you know, doing pretty good, 18. I don't think it should be like, okay, then we do all this schooling, all this studying, and then we come up without footwork. Some need to, they need to have workshops and so on that, you know, when they come out, they can have some knowledge of some kind of work, plumbing, whatever. I think the system needs a little changing, because when you come at 17, going 18, and then you have to go into polytechnic for another 2 years, seeing that how the world is going now, it's tough. I think the time needs to be utilized somewhat while they're at school. Even from 15, they go into these different things so they can help themselves. Mm-hmm. So look, let me tell you, I needed a plumber, right? And I have to rely on a plumber that is pretty advanced in years. And I mean, things like that can be taught. All right, let me quickly go on to what I...
Okay, just so before you think, we're getting some messages here about the Lodge School. Actually, provision has been made for school meals at the Lodge School. And in some cases, it is provided. And about six people are messaging me right now about the same thing. So maybe there are some secondary schools, certainly not in my day, but maybe there are some secondary schools that do provide school meals. Go ahead.
I'm concerned about this because you see some of these schools that we would call lower secondary schools, right? We know the children who might have to end up at those schools. It's like, who needs it may not be getting it? Get where I'm coming from?
Why would you? Okay, well, kind of in a sense. Somebody can tell you. There are a lot of schools, actually. Forgive me, it's been a while since I've been to secondary school, and I don't have any children at secondary school. But they're saying that. Put it this way, what they're trying to say to you and to me is that there is provision for school meals in some of these secondary schools, depending on the case.
I don't want to hear some. It needs to be across the board for those who need it.
Well, it seems to be across the board here, Daryl Jordan, Lodge. All secondary schools here, people are flying them in like crazy, even Harrison College. So we can put that one to rest, and we can move on to the next one.
I would check it out some more.
Okay, you can check it. But based on our WhatsApp crew here, there are a lot of people saying that it happened, so I would have to believe that this is true. 100 Frenchmen cannot be wrong. But you move on to your next point.
Mm-hmm. 100 Frenchmen cannot be wrong.
Oh,
I don't believe in that. But
right. Okay, let's move on to our next point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we had a little earth tremor yesterday.
I saw something on social media of people asking questions around 9 o'clock yesterday morning or something like that. I have seen nothing being reported to support it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, persons are very concerned about the moving of the fire station from Bridgetown.
Say that again?
Persons last week and before, persons were very concerned about the removal of the fire station from Bridgetown.
Go on.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they are very concerned that they want to, their plans to even move the QH later on and get some money and so on.
I didn't hear about but they talk about QEH was for years in terms of building a new hospital.
I know the government office in Bay Street and Beckles Rural Hospital, right? That's what I was hearing over the weeks. I don't see why people will want these essential services on the coast. These essential services need to go to higher ground. And if the fire station remains where it is, and we have, well, God forbid, an earthquake, a tsunami, or even a bad storm, and we need firemen, how will they get to their place of work to able to come out and help people?
Well, I agree with you. I sat here in this chair on different occasions and often mentioned the emergency services being on the coast. I've also mentioned the fact that Light and Power's power plant is on the highway, on the Mighty Grainer Highway, right on the ocean side. The Barbados Defense Force, Oisin's Police Station, Worthing Police Station, Hastings Police Station, Holtown Police Station, the fire service down the West Coast, all of them are located on the coast. So it's something that I strongly feel that should move eventually. Of course, you can't move everybody right away, but it's something that must be considered, because for the Defense Force, for example, and there's a storm surge, the people that we need to help us would be, won't be able to help themselves. So,
won't be able to get to work.
Yeah.
So. You know, so, I mean, they can go now. They can leave a fire appliance.
Barbados today is reporting here a 4.4 magnitude quake occurred south of Barbados this morning. I think that was yesterday.
Yesterday morning.
I saw social media and everybody was asking the same question. Some persons felt it, some didn't. I certainly didn't. So yes, if you felt
south
it,
coast?
You felt something.
South.
No, they said the south of Barbados this morning, meaning yesterday morning. So did you feel anything?
No. Okay. When I heard that, it just set me to thinking that all our emergency services are on the coast, and some need to be moved to high ground as time go by. Mm-hmm. And the fire service, maybe they can keep one appliance close to Bridgetown, but the main station need to go to higher ground. Thank you.
Okay. We'll be back after the break.